morning, and welcome to the IBM Security Solutions Overview Conference Call. At this time, participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question and answer session, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Ms. Lisa Jinks.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon to those of you not in the United States. We appreciate your time and joining. For those of you on the call right now, I'd like to remind you if you could please join the e-meeting that was either in the email you received or the calendar invitation that was sent out. And all of the details can be found in there. So once again, my name is Lisa Jensen, and I am the Worldwide Channel Sales Manager for the Tivoli Security Solutions. Next slide, please. I'm excited to announce that today is our very first IBM Security Talk, one of a four-part series. And the purpose of today's meeting is really to talk to you about our new IBM Security strategy. IBM has built, through development and acquisition, the most comprehensive information management security solution in the industry. To further validate our commitment to security, we recently announced the first ever General Manager of IBM Security, Steve Robinson. I wanted to also let you know that we have three upcoming IBM Security Talks. They're going to be at the same time each Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And you can see on this slide, we have three coming up on November 4th on TKLM, November 11th on TAMI-SSO, and then November 18th on VSP. So without further ado, I'd like to turn the call over to Bob Kalka, our Global Executive of the Worldwide Security Tiger Team. Bob?
Thanks so much, Lisa, and thank you so much to so many of you joining. We have a great attendance on today's call, and I'm glad to see that. I hope you'll be as excited as we are about this business when we conclude this, if you're not already. So I'm going to be joined by Joe Caracillo, who a long time, probably a lot of you know Joe well, who's been running our enablement team for many, many years. And then we'll have Lisa close up, and we'll close with Q&A. So I am the director of what we call the Security Tiger Team in IBM. What the Security Tiger Team is responsible for is we are responsible for helping you sell. It is a sales role. We are responsible for helping you sell everything IBM has for information security. The issue that we've had over the years is that if you define what exactly does IBM have for information security, there's been a lot of confusion in the market for that because in the last 11 years, we have made 16 major security-related acquisitions. And yet, until this year, what we had done is we had basically had each part of IBM that had the closest affinity that that particular acquisition actually managed the acquisition. And as a result, we've got an incredible portfolio of information, of a capability to automate information security controls, but nobody knows about it. So what we did with naming Steve Robinson General Manager of IBM Security, putting myself and Kent Blossom in place on the Security Tiger Team executives to provide literally a sales team that works with our partners and others, of course, to go drive cross-brand IBM Security solutions. Now, what's exciting about this is that it's not only that we've got a sales team in place to help you close business, and some of you on the line have been working with all year doing that, but we're also consolidating marketing. We're consolidating strategy, which we've already done. We are consolidating development teams in many cases. So, for example, the 300 developers working on the Internet Security Systems acquisition, or ISS, earlier this year, were integrated into the Tivoli security development team. And so as a result, we now have this big development team working on Tivoli and ISS together. Right, so it's very, very exciting. I mean, our issue has been not investment level. Our issue has been go-to-market. And we are turning that on its head, and this is a kickoff call to show you where we think some of the lowest-hanging fruit is in terms of opportunities But what you'll see through our discussion today is that as you start driving opportunities in some of these, let's say, tactical areas, you are opening up your client to a solution that you should be able to help them for a long time to come. Now, I've been piloting this during 2010, especially here in North America, and it's going exceptionally well. So what we've wanted to do is to really drive this across the board. So what I'd like to do is kind of give you a perspective on why have we done what we've done, how are we doing what we've done, and kind of what the low-hanging fruit is for you guys to get started on this stuff. And then we'll have Joe take you in detail through some of those pieces. So when we look at security overview, and I hope to strike the term cross-brand soon from our nomenclature. In IBM, we often say cross-brand. We just want you to realize what we're going to talk about today spans the entire IBM company. It spans all of the software brands, right? So from Tivoli Security Assets to Webster Data Power to Rational to Information Management, you know, InfoSphere, Optum, et cetera, includes our services that are sellable and are being sold by business partners today. It includes what we have, right? And so that's why I say it's a cross-brand security overview. The beautiful thing is, from here on out, we are going to market as something called IBM Security Solutions, not as, hey, this brand has some security, and so if you're only talking to them, then you're only going to get a limited story. You have the capability as our partners to sell this across the board. And it's not... The thing I want to emphasize is not just, hey, so we're throwing a bunch of stuff at you and figure out what the client wants. The reason we've built this the way we've built it, which is what I'm going to show you next, is because it allows you to have a consultative relationship with the client around information security. And this is the absolute key. Now, you all are aware that when it comes to IBM, it's all about Smarter Planet these days. Because Smarter Planet is not only a marketing campaign, it is literally how we think about what we do as a company for our clients. Because Smarter Planet is a very simple concept. Across industries, how do we help clients leverage the three major trends going on right now? Trend number one, everything's getting instrumented. Everything's kicking out data, right? From bridges and roads that kick out tension information all the way to mussels in the Atlantic Ocean that have sensors in them to track migratory patterns to prevent overfishing. It doesn't matter what the industry is, there is data now being generated all over the place on stuff, and that's only increasing and going to increase. So everything's getting instrumented. The second part of Smarter Planet is everybody's getting interconnected. There's just under 2 billion folks on the Internet today. There's just under 4 billion mobile phone subscribers today. And the people aren't connecting just because they want to text their buddies, right? They're connecting because they're looking for value. They're looking for useful information for them to do what they do. So the third element of Smarter Planet is intelligence. If I can intelligently take not only the data that I have, but combine it with all this new data being generated and provide it to this new, to this interconnected, much larger group of people, then we have the capability not only to grow our businesses and our clients' businesses, but we have a opportunity to actually change how industries work, and that's what we're super focused on. Now, as security professionals, which I assume most of us on this line are today, one of the beautiful things, and I've been with IBM for 21 years, and I've been doing security for the last 16 years of that, and one of the beautiful things about information security is that we're the reality check people, right? And we're the people who get to see what happens when we have these awesome opportunities to innovate. And frankly, as we've been doing these Smarter Planet-type initiatives across industries around the world, there are a couple of things that keep coming up in these Smarter Planet engagements that have become patently obvious to me. Point number one is when we do Smarter Planet, right, when we start to innovate in an industry, you are going to see an explosion of sensitive data. So the IT group, with all these new sources of information, and we're going to be integrating it with other stuff and putting out innovative type of information, is we're going to see an explosion of that stuff. So that naturally leads to an obvious question. If we're going to see an explosion of sensitive data, how are we doing with the data, sensitive data that we already have? Question number one, reality check. The second part of Smarter Planet is as we start integrating all these new sources and new customer bases, et cetera, through our IT systems and put more and more of our interaction over the web, then we're going to see an explosion in the complexity of the systems that we're expected to integrate. So once again, the reality check question is, well, if I'm going to see an explosion of complexity, how am I doing with the complexity that I already have? Well, unfortunately for our clients, when you look at both of those questions, the answers are pretty obvious. If you look at any study, look at the right-hand side here. If you look at any study that's come out in the last 2 years on sensitive data disclosure activity, you and I both know that from Ponemon Institute to Deloitte to the IT Security Compliance Group, et cetera, most clients are leaking out data. This one from the IT Policy Compliance Group was a study that said in the last 12 months, how many times have you disclosed sensitive data to someone that wasn't supposed to see it? And what you see is 87% of firms reported at least 3 times that they had disclosed it. Now, the more intense part of this is not that most firms are leaking sensitive data out today, but the bigger finding of this study was that most clients, when asked, admitted they actually aren't quite sure where all the sensitive data is in the first place, because you probably heard the study came out the middle of last year that said the average piece of sensitive data ends up being copied between 20 and 30 times and stored in unstructured forms, such as spreadsheets and word processing documents. So we focus so much on, hey, have you disclosing any sensitive data? When the first question the client gets asked, or if the auditor is being sneaky, the second question they ask is, show me that you know where all your sensitive data actually is right now at this point in time. And our clients are stuck on that. So think about it. If we're going to see an explosion of sensitive data and we're already leaking data out, that's called opportunity. Second piece, complexity. A study that Gartner loves to talk about is this study that came out that said if you look at the IT labor budget in the typical firm today, on average 70% of the IT labor expense is spent on just keeping the lights on, running the stuff that you already have. And only 30% in general is spent on actually growing the business. Kind of a problem, right? Because you really want to reverse that at least. You want to spend as little as possible on running the shop you've got and free up as much as possible to innovate and potentially do cost takeout. Now, the problem with this, of course, is that all this compliance stuff fits into that blue area of keeping the lights on, just maintaining what you have. So it's actually getting worse. Now, when you say information security to anyone, then what they think is, oh, my gosh, that's a cost center. You're actually going to be driving that percentage worse because that's just keeping the lights on type of stuff. So if we can show our clients how, by implementing repeatable, testable, and automated information security controls, we can actually start to reverse in a quantitative way this cost discussion, you completely turn on its head the information security discussion with a client. So what I would like to take you through is I'd like to turn over to a whiteboard and kind of give you a sense how we articulate this to our clients, because it's really, really been a remarkable experience for us this year. And this is a tool, by the way, that we've got available to you in terms of training for it, because the only tool you need is a whiteboard at the front of a room somewhere. But I'm going to give you an idea of how we actually articulate this whole concept of information security to the clients. Because when we started to build our strategy out, it really comes down to starting with the basic fact. The basic fact is every client you walk into is going to have two different definitions of security at work. There's the IT security definition of security, which is, pretty obvious. Since records started being kept in 1987, there have been just under 45,000 vulnerabilities ever discovered. And of those 45,000 vulnerabilities ever discovered, 4,924 of them were discovered last year. So the job of security is to take the vulnerabilities, that subset of those that are relevant to your client's risk-sensitive systems, and make sure they're protected against them in some way. Right? So that's the IT security definition of security. However, How many business people care about that? They assume security is going to do that for them. They're not interested in it. right, I invented a statistic called MTGE, mean time to glassy eyes. How long does it take a security person talking to a non-security person before that non-security person totally checks out of the conversation? The problem with that is not just boring meetings. The problem is that if the business folks, the consumers of the security controls we're going to put in, are blind to them or not interested, then we're going to end up with stuck projects. Much of the reason why there's been so many stuck user provisioning projects across vendors across the industry until recently, because the business folks just aren't bought in. So the absolute core thing to our strategy is how do we communicate and help you communicate to clients, not just the security team, in a way they care. And frankly, we've cracked the code on it. When we talk to business people, they have a very self-centered view of security, but it's a good self-centered. They only care about it from the standpoint of the IT resources that they use to drive their business forward. And the way they do that is by answering three questions. Question number one, who can come into their portal, their database server, their bank of servers, whatever it is? Second question, what can they do once they get inside of my systems? And the third, the one that's causing most of the problems today, is prove it. Can I easily prove that only the right people are doing the right things inside of my systems? And for us security people, the corollary is even more important, which is can I immediately discover someone's doing something like looking at sensitive data inside of my systems that they're not supposed to be doing? So the first standpoint of what our strategy has been all about is addressing security not only from the IT view, because of course we're going to address that, but how do we also address it and articulate it in a way that the non-security people actually are compelled by? And I can personally tell you from making thousands of client calls doing this that this works. Now, the stuff that I just shared with you in terms of complexity and compliance are actually just two of the four major trends we see impacting information security today. So the first piece, just to reiterate, was around compliance. And compliance is all around sensitive business data. I showed you the IT Policy Compliance Group study that 87% of firms reported at least three disclosures of sensitive data in the previous 12 months. And you notice that the other category was 0 to 2. Very few zeros on that list. And the second driver I shared with you that is driving security today is complexity. And the complexity is that if we look at our IT investments today, generally 70% of it is spent on just keeping the lights on. However, there are two other trends that are having a remarkable impact on our clients today. So the third issue driving our strategy and driving the market today, frankly, is the changing nature of threats. Until about 2 years ago, the vast majority of all new vulnerabilities were at the network and operating system level, of course. Well, 2 years ago, major shift took place. And we, of course, discovered this because one of our 16 acquisitions was Internet Security Systems. And the incredible research team from ISS called X-Force, which is still a major part of our security research labs in IBM, are the folks who have that database of all the vulnerabilities. And those folks track every vulnerability that have ever been discovered, whether we found it or someone else found it. We don't care. We track it so we can help protect clients against it, right? Of what happened 2 years ago is that for the first time, the majority of threats are up at the web application level. So just think for a moment what a perfect storm this is. At the same time, our clients are falling over themselves to put more and more of their interaction, et cetera, online. That's where most of the attacks are taking place. In fact, the number one attack of the last 2 years is SQL injection, right? Where you put a SQL statement in an input field. And if you're not doing proper input checking, and you all know how much application developers just love security and think about it every day when they're writing their code, right? So if you haven't done proper input checking, that web app server underneath that web app is going to go execute that SQL statement. That was the source of the breach of the 100 million plus credit cards lost to Heartland Payment Systems. It is the number one attack of the last 2 years. Of the 4,924 new vulnerabilities discovered last year, fully 53.9% of them were at the web application level. And of those vulnerabilities, 73% of them have no patch, meaning you're relying on disinterested application developers to properly put input checking and vulnerabilities that they're not even aware of. Welcome to one of the major drivers for us, right, as security professionals. Now, the fourth driver that's driving this industry forward is what we would call innovation. And by innovation, what I refer to are what are the types of solutions our clients are turning to try to do things better, faster, cheaper. Well, you can't go far until you come to virtualization and cloud for that. So the issue that's going on right now is most of our clients have at least started virtualization, you know, server consolidations, et cetera, and yet, as soon as they go to virtualized resources, they open up a gaping security hole, right? Well, what is that gaping security hole? Well, this one's pretty obvious. Let's see, you take two physical servers, and you've got an operating system and an application stack running on those two servers. And you're probably running, you know, antivirus, firewall, IPS, et cetera, on each of those physical servers. Well, as soon as you transform that into a virtualized deployment, where you go to a consolidated server with a hypervisor like VMware running, and you put those two workloads on top of this hypervisor, you're probably going to take those security tools that you had on the physical servers and run them on the new consolidated server, antivirus, firewalls, IPS. Well, here's the big question. How, in this scenario, do you detect that a user logged into one virtual machine is actually launching a SQL injection attack, just for example, on an application running in another virtual machine on that same physical server? The answer is you can't see it. So all of our clients running around doing virtualization for all the right reasons, right? Business reasons that nobody can debate because they're absolutely spot on. These clients are all running around with a huge gaping security hole. And most of the clients I've talked to haven't even been aware of it, but now what's happening this year is what's happening is the PCI spec, right? Payment card industry data security spec, is actually adding virtualization-specific security requirements because they realize this hole is there. So you can bet as PCI is paying attention to this, all of a sudden the clients are starting to get it. So the big deal here is that there is a gaping security hole in all these virtualization deployments, right? And so helping clients secure their innovative stuff so they are not at risk is a major area of potential growth for all of us. So all of this has been background for you, but this describes of what we are honing in. It describes why we've acquired the 16 companies we've acquired. It's because we are solving these four major trends from the standpoint of not only an IT risk management perspective, but also from the business people's definition of security, which comes down to who, what, and prove it. So here's what our strategy is. Very simple. Our strategy is to help clients put in repeatable, testable, and automated controls for governing access to their sensitive business assets. I can't state it any more clearly. We're going to help clients identify and put in repeatable, testable, and automated controls for governing access to their sensitive business assets. The way we put in those repeatable, testable, and automated controls is we define them across four different layers. Maybe four or five, depending on how you count it, that we first put in repeatable, testable, automated controls at the user layer. We also, better known as identity and access management, right? We also put in controls at the data layer. Third, we put in controls for security at the application layer. And then finally, we put in controls at the infrastructure layer, including network server endpoint. Now, the way that we supply those controls to our clients is in three ways. First of all, of course, hardware and software products, of course. Secondly, through professional security services. You might say, why am I telling you, a partner, about that? We have done an incredible job together growing our assessments, for example, for PCI, of which we're a globally qualified assessor, where our business partners, you guys will bring us in to do a PCI assessment, and then you go take the remediation business. We've had several cases where we've gone in and done a $30,000 to $40,000 PCI assessment at a client, right, because we're a globally qualified assessor, and the clients find that very attractive. And then our business partners walked off with anything from $200,000 to $600,000 of follow-on business within a quarter. And there are two cases, one that was about $1.2 million, another was $2.1 million. right? Because obviously PCI identifies gaps everywhere you go. So our professional security services, is there are elements of our professional security services from Global Technology Services that are an ideal fit for the majority of you to sell. And you get paid on these, and so we've done that. Now, the third way that we supply these controls is through the rocket ship of the information security industry today, which is managed security services. So if your clients are actually paying people to manage their firewalls, I guarantee you we could do it for far less than they can do it themselves. And so in managing firewalls is pretty mundane stuff. So if you, because you're able to do this, if you sell either our managed security services or some of you on the line have your own, and believe me, you'll see that when we go and articulate this, we make it very clear that we're our partners of the service here. Hey, this is great stuff. We are more than happy for that. So managed security services can help the client actually essentially outsource or cloud source, forgive the term, some of their more mundane security operations to A, significantly cut operational costs, typically 40 to 60%, and B, help their staff focus on more useful activities than sitting there managing firewalls and stuff. So we offer the, all of this within this portfolio. Now, as we have looked at what are the controls, what are the actual controls, and you'll notice I'm focused on controls, you will find that when you talk about information security controls with clients, then the business people actually care about this discussion, especially relative to who, what, and prove it. If you start talking about technologies, they're gone. You got glassy eyes. So you'll see we talk about information security controls. We find we've actually worked with our clients to define 7 or 8 very specific security controls across each of these layers. These controls generally fit into 3 categories. Controls for assessing risk at each layer, controls for mitigating risk at each layer, and then controls for managing risk at each layer. So what we've done, once again, is go through each of these 4 levels, define the 7 or 8 controls that clients are being expected to implement today, and then we help articulate not only the control, but then how we within IBM, with you, can uniquely address these controls, not only in a comprehensive way, but also in an integrated way. So on this kickoff call, I'm clearly not going to go through all 7 or 8 controls on all the levels because, you know, we'll be here another hour just on this piece. But what I want to do is just give you a taste of a couple of the controls that we are seeing have very, very broad applicability across the board. Okay? So, but what I invite you to do is on Partner World, we have a link to a Camtasia recording where I take you through all couple dozen plus controls that we can offer the client and exactly how we do that. And that is free, of course. It's available to you, and I highly recommend it. I also highly recommend that on more significant transactions, you call me and my team to get involved in this because this is very, very key for us. All right. Now, it appears to me that we may have just lost our same time meeting. So let me just validate that. And if so, then I will change to talk only. And it appears we have, at least on my end. So what I'm going to do, you've seen the setup anyways visually, so let me just walk you through kind of what we see as some of those controls. The first control that we see a very broad applicability is a mitigate risk control at the user level. And that control is single sign-on. Now, there's 3 different forms of single sign-on, but when you look at single sign-on, this is one that is broad applicability across industries today because it solves this triumvirate. What's the triumvirate? Number one, making IT's life easier. Going to single sign-on, which includes self-service password reset, makes everybody's job easier. And the users, the business users, just absolutely love it, not to mention the technology users. Point one. Point number two, it actually allows you to become more secure because you can enforce a consistent authorization policy. So as you determine that, hey, password is fine for these 10 systems, and for these 2 we need stronger authentication, a single sign-on system does that for you. And then third is the payoff. up to 80% of the calls to the help desk are for password resets, according to Gartner. And with single sign-on technologies, you can cut out up to 97%. Now, the reason I say 97% is that's the most I've ever seen in terms of reduction in help desk password reset calls. I asked that client, I met with them, and said, why was it 97%? Why didn't you get to 100%? Because you had made using the single sign-on tool mandatory. And their answer to me was, well, because there's a lot of lonely people out there. I said, what do you mean? They said, no matter what you do to automate this stuff, there will be people who will jump through hoops just to talk to a human being. I said, okay. So enterprise single sign-on is in particular very super hot right now. It's the ability for your internal users especially to get access to both web and non-web-based resources. So our solution for that, of course, is based on our acquisition a couple of years ago of a company called Incentuate. It's now called Tivoli Access Manager for Enterprise Single Sign-On, or TAM-ESSO. So up at that user layer of our strategy, single sign-on is actually a huge piece for us and is something that is in open distribution. In fact, the couple of products I'm going to talk about here are all in open distribution, so you don't have to be certified to do that. Now, by the way, for some of the more advanced stuff that you'll hear about when you go to Partner World and look at this entire whiteboarding, which, by the way, I highly encourage you to get comfortable with and do in front of your clients because it blows them away, you'll see some announcements coming up on November 9th from Sandy Carter that you definitely want to pay attention to because you should hear some very interesting things around security. We'll just leave it at that for now. But anyway, so enterprise single sign-on through TAM-ESSO is very key. And when I turn it over to Joe in a minute or two, then we'll have him take you through that in a little more detail. The second solution is we're going to move down to the data layer of our strategy. Remember, it's user data applications infrastructure. One of the eight controls for data security is around encryption key management. There's been so much focus on encryption, but what the clients are now realizing is, oh my gosh, yikes. How do we manage the lifecycle of all these keys? So from our Tivoli brand, we have a solution called Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager, or TKLM. Incredible solution. And we're going to have Joe take you through that as well. At the next layer down, with application security, I'm sure many of you have heard of the AppScan solutions from our Rational brand. That's a combination of our acquisition of WatchFire for basically application scanning for vulnerabilities, and our acquisition last July of Ounce Labs that does source code inspection looking for susceptibility to these vulnerabilities. And that's a huge growth business for us this year. And then finally, down on the infrastructure layer is this incredible asset that addresses that virtualization security hole I told you about. This it's just really an incredible solution. We worked 2.5-3 years with VMware to actually do this. VMware delivered their part. They delivered an API last fall called VMSafe that allows us to take essentially the ISS IPS capability with a bunch of additional policy management for virtualized environments added in and allows us to run as a single virtual machine on top of the VMware ESX hypervisor and provide all those security vulnerability controls on everything running on that box. And it literally implants itself within the hypervisor. Absolutely innovative and yet very aggressive cost-wise. That solution is called VSP, or Virtual Server Protection for VMware. Now, those are just a couple of pieces. Once again, what I would love to do with my team and the Partner World resources that are there for you is that we have a lot more in this portfolio. But I just wanted to share a couple of pieces with you that we see as low-hanging fruit right now that are doing very well and in open distribution. Look, there's lots else, right? We just acquired BigFix 2 months ago. If you're not aware of BigFix, take a look. We now have a killer endpoint security management solution and with the BigFix acquisition. And this one adds a whole new dimension because that was the one hole we had. It was down on the endpoint. No more. We actually have the best technology to do that now. So to summarize my part, our strategy is all based on addressing both the IT and business perspectives, including who, what, and prove it. It's to address those four trends I took you through. The way we do it is through repeatable, testable, automated controls across users, data, applications, and infrastructure. The ones that we're focusing on today on this kickoff call are some of the open distribution pieces, around enterprise single sign-on, around encryption key management, and around virtualization security. What you'll see on follow-on calls is much more detail on those and others. But once again, my big message to you is that with Steve Robinson being put in place as general manager, with my team being put in place to basically help you guys drive and close deals around the entire portfolio, because we're all experts on the whole piece, right? We are primed for huge growth as a business, and I thank you for all of your previous business we've done together, and I look forward very much to working with all of you directly and indirectly to help grow our respective businesses together with what cannot be debated to be the most comprehensive and, as you'll see on subsequent calls, integrated portfolio in the industry. So, Joe, why don't you take it away, and let's go in a little more detail on these solutions that we've introduced here.
Thank you very much, Bob. So if we'd all move on to slide 13, that's where we are in the deck, and I'll get started. So first, again, introduce myself. My name is Joe Caracello, and today I manage security sales enablement for Tivoli on a worldwide basis. So as Bob pointed out, I expect I've probably had a chance to meet some of you on the call today. If not so far, I hope to have an opportunity as we proceed with enablement activities throughout the balance of this year and into next year. So if we go on to slide 14, what you'll see is, again, as Bob had described earlier, there are three specific products that are really the focus of this series of enablement calls that we're having. The first is IBM Virtual Security Protection for VMware. Second, Tivoli Access Manager for Enterprise Single Sign-On. And the third, Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. So Bob gave a little brief view of what these products were all about, but I'm going to spend maybe 10 more minutes giving you a little more information. And again, this is intended to be a lead-in to help you understand what you'll be hearing a lot more about in the later calls. So again, the plan is to have separate follow-on calls on each of these topics where the call is completely devoted to that single topic. And again, you see the reason why we've chosen these three is that the products are currently in open distribution, which means that all of you, all of our business partners, are able to take advantage of offering these solutions to your customers today, regardless of what contractual relationships you have in other areas or where you're maybe historically where you came from. So let's move on to chart 15. This one, I'll just take a minute to focus on, you know, why do our customers, why do enterprises need virtual infrastructure protection? Why do they need a solution like IBM Virtual Security Server Protection for VMware? So as Bob pointed out, there are a number of new risks and complexities that have been introduced by our customers' movement into taking advantage of the virtualization technologies that exist today, and also moving as a result of that to start to implement cloud environments, whether they be public cloud or their own private cloud. The big issue here, as you'll see, is that it's really important to make sure that the security solutions that the customer has deployed have been explicitly designed to recognize that they're running in a virtual environment, and they're not solutions that were designed for the standard individual operating system, individual machine environment that most customers have been familiar with. So as Bob pointed out, when a customer migrates their solutions from, I'll make it easy, 10 machines to a single platform running on a virtualization environment, when it comes to security, it's not optimal, and it's actually inefficient and risky for them to just move those existing security solutions and not step up and move forward to new solutions that are customized for virtualization. So one example I show on this chart is that rootkit detection upon new virtual machine startup is a really important service that an existing product that wasn't built to recognize a virtualization environment wouldn't understand. Another area is, again, Bob gave the example of making sure you've got that firewall or making sure you've got that installation layer between each of the virtual machines. Solutions that were not designed, not knowing they're on a virtual machine system, wouldn't have that function. So if you look here, again, what customers are looking for is how do they mitigate these risks, how do they reduce their costs, and how do they make sure they're compliant. In the area of reducing costs, what you'll find quite exciting about the solution we offer in this space is that it can greatly reduce the cost the customer was paying historically for intrusion prevention services across that big server farm that they had. The price point that we offer for our solution design for a virtual environment is an order of magnitude less expensive. And then, of course, on the compliance aspect, it's important that the solution generate the proper audit information and then have an effective mechanism to be able to consolidate that in a convenient way. So if you go on to slide 16, we see that the solution we're offering in this space is IBM Virtual Server Protection for VMware. And the point here is that this product was written from the ground up as a new offering explicitly for the current VMware environment. As Bob mentioned, VMware in their vSphere 4 release introduced for the first time a new security interface that's called VMSafe. This product's been written to take full advantage of it, and this picture is essentially designed to illustrate how this product essentially recognizes the fact that this is a virtualization environment, and it's designed to encapsulate the virtualization environment and provide comprehensive security services to each of these VM instances as they're generated. So the product, again, is best of breed. We'll hear an awful lot about it in the later on call, so I won't spend too much time on it. But it does take full advantage of all of the new capabilities that have been offered by VMware with its vSafe API. That includes its ability to provide intrusion prevention services from each VM system so that you can prevent cross-traffic, as the example Bob gave of hacking. It also supports the latest VMware technologies like vMotion. Next Tuesday is our latest release of this offering, VSP for VMware, and that supports the latest and greatest releases of VMware. So with that, in the interest of time, let me move on to our next area. So if we move to slide 17, I'll spend just a minute or two talking about password manager challenges. And again, Bob gave some good examples of this. So you can see that there's four areas that we believe our customers are looking for solutions to help address these issues. First is the area of improving user productivity. You can see from the little example of the picture here, monitor with the passwords, the sticky notes all over them. The environment we all deal with today is every time we get granted access to a new resource, we're given a new user ID and password. And this has gotten to the point where it's actually a productivity inhibitor for the employees at a customer. So having a tool that can simplify this, that can give them a single password, while at the same time maintaining the strength, or as you see in the next point, actually improve the overall security of the enterprise, because since you don't have to remember each of these individual passwords, they can be much stronger passwords. Of course, one of the big factors here and benefits to customers is the reduction of overall cost. The experiences we've had with the customers that have deployed this today have shown that they can pay for not only the license of the product, but also the cost to deploy the product with just the savings and help desk costs, typically in the first calendar year. So let's move on to page 18. So as Bob mentioned, our solution is typically Access Manager for Enterprise Single Sign-On. The key points I want you to take away from this chart is, number one, that this is a comprehensive single sign-on solution. It is not just focused on a single resource type like web resources or local client server applications. It covers the full spectrum of the type of applications that an average employee needs to have access to. The second point is that it provides another way that it provides an enhancement of security is that it supports a wide range of multi-factor authentication devices. You see those on the left side of this graphic. So customers can go from logging in with user ID and password only to being able to efficiently and cost-effectively support two-factor authentication devices like shown here, biometrics, iPads, proximity badges. And what's nice about this is not only does it make it easy to log in and then be authenticated automatically, it makes it easy to do a single sign-out. So when you, for example, with the proximity badge as an example, when you walk away from your workstation or terminal, you're automatically disconnected. So you'll hear a lot more about this in the later call, but best-of-breed solution used widely by our customers worldwide provides additional security benefits over what they're using today in the area of stronger initial logon and being able to maintain very strong passwords that in many cases the end users never even see or know about. Now, to finish up, let's move on to slide 19. The last area I wanted to talk about is encryption key lifecycle management. So, again, with the background Bob gave you, this is more and more of a critical management and security issue for our customers. With this explosion of data that Bob talked about from the instrumentation of the world, what we find is that our customers need to better manage that data. And more of that data is sensitive data that either specific governance standards like PCI or others mandate be encrypted, or just based on customer common sense views would tell them that they should secure this data using encryption. Now, what does that mean? There's a management cost to encryption. So the solutions that we offer, is designed to do the three things I described. Number one, it helps the customer meet compliance requirements and strengthen their overall security by comfortably allowing them to implement encryption wholesalely across their enterprise. It reduced their costs in two ways. Number one, by having a simple infrastructure that makes it easy and convenient to generate and manage these keys. Number two, by preventing their liability from exposure of this sensitive data. And there's some examples on this page. The third point is that the solution is designed to help them demonstrate their compliance, the PCI and other aspects, by being able to show explicitly that data was secured certain time by certain keys, that those keys have a defined life cycle, and it's customer can go back and prove, as Bob was saying, that those keys were properly secured, securely distributed, and later destroyed when their life ended. So last page here for me, slide 20, you see our solution is Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. It provides the host of the services that I just described. An important point here is that our newest release, version 2, supports a new emerging standard called KMIP. This essentially is the first industry specification for key lifecycle management, and by supporting this standard, our product is able to not only help our customers with IBM technology, but you'll find out in one of the next calls, a growing host of third-party and OEM hardware that also supports this standard. Last point I'll make in this chart, and I'll turn it back to Lisa, is that we have a large group of existing customers that are using an earlier version of this technology, an offering called EKM, Encryption Key Management, which was a complementary feature on some IBM storage devices. That offering has come to end of life, and the natural replacement is this Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. So there are literally scores, I believe hundreds actually, of customers that are in need of having a salesperson call on them and point out to them that it's time for them to move to a long-time supported solution that provides a robust set of additional function, which is Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. So I'll end it there as the preview for the next three calls. I hope that all of you will take the time to join us on those calls. And I'll turn it back to you, Lisa, to make your final comments and go to Q&A.
Okay. Thanks, Joe, and thanks to both you and Bob for participating and presenting today in this webinar. I appreciate all your effort in working with my team, the Worldwide Tivoli Security Channel Sales Team, led by Jay Leary. I know that we've had some technical difficulties with the e-meeting today, so hopefully all of you have been able to follow through the PowerPoint presentation. If for any reason you didn't get the PowerPoint presentation, feel free to email me. My email is on the first slide. And in the interest of time, since we're running a little bit late, I am not going to go through the IBM security resources slide. They're here for your reference. I did want to point out a couple things, though. There is a link on the first slide to the IBM security whiteboard, which is an audio presentation by Bob Kolka. I highly encourage you to take a look at this. Bob talked a lot about the whiteboard presentation and your ability to do this, and this is an excellent opportunity for you to take a look at how Bob presents it. And finally, the other point I wanted to make for our business partners on the call are all of the three products that Joe mentioned, TKLM, TAMI-SSO, and VSP, are in open distribution, so they're available for all business partners to sell, not only Tivoli security business partners, but also storage partners and automation partners. And as Joe told you, there's some nice synergy there with the other pillars within Tivoli. So I want to just wrap up now. Please take time to look through the resources available. We have a lot of great material, and I will review it on the next call for you. So at this time, we're going to run 5 minutes over for those of you that can stay on the line, and I'd like to open it up for Q&A. Operator, can I turn it over to you?
Thank you. At this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute the phone and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw the question, please press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. One moment, please. Once again, you may press star 1 to ask a question. No questions currently are populating.
Okay. Thank you, operator. I'd like to thank everybody for joining the call today. And for those of you that don't have my email address, you can contact me at JensenL, J-E-N-S-E-N-L, at us.ibm.com, and I'd be happy to send you the presentation if it was not available. And I sincerely appreciate your time, in particular to our business partners, for joining today. And I look forward to you joining us for the next three sessions coming up. Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for participating. And the speakers, if you please stand by, I'll transfer you to the post-conference.